First things first, let's get over to the 10th Amendment Center and get Michael Bolden back up here for a little chat. We haven't spoken for a while. Michael, welcome back. Sorry, we're a little snow-encrusted here.
Hey, you know, we all have our things going on out here in California. It's a little chilly, 66 today.
Shut up.
Exactly. Sorry to rub that in.
Oh, man. Okay, well, it was nice talking to you. I'll talk to you later. Hey, first off, just as kind of an overview, the last time we spoke, I think I probably asked you pretty much the same question, this whole effort towards nullification, the movement of the concept, across the country,
right.
A lot of media exposure and a lot of excitement. Where are you now?
The reality is that there's a growing movement of people around the country that just take the position that we don't need no stinking permission to exercise our rights, that we're going to start exercising our rights, whether Washington, D.C., Congress, or some people in black dresses on a Supreme Court want to give us permission to or not. And we're running around the country on this big tour, nullifying now. We're actually going to be on the other side of the state there in Cincinnati in March. But we want to push the idea into the mainstream because they don't want us to.
Indeed. Yeah. Well, listen. I want to stay on top of the March festivities. It's a few hours down the road, but nevertheless, you're probably not going to get a whole lot closer. And we want to jump on that while we have the opportunity. What about? I guess you must be pretty excited about Judge Vinson's decision the other day.
Yeah. Everybody's yelling, "Hooray! Jump for joy!" I don't know. If you look at his ruling, I think it's more of a Trojan horse than anything. And he says,
ooh,
quote, "Without doubt, Congress has the power to reform and regulate the healthcare market." So basically what he's saying is, okay, well, maybe this mandate's too far out there, but he had to reluctantly conclude that Congress went too far. He basically had a really hard time coming to this conclusion, and he affirmed the idea that the federal government somehow has authority over health care when the Constitution does not delegate such power to the federal government.
Yeah, that was something I wanted to ask you about, because there are a lot of... It's not exactly head-on collisions, even from people who are essentially on the same side, but some of the nuanced conversations. We were going to talk to Ken Klukowski earlier today. We kind of missed that boat. He had an amicus brief filed with the case. There was a headline which can't get my hands on. Here we are. Talking about here's a headline from, I believe it's from AP. President Barack Obama's health care law has too much momentum for one judge to stop it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it goes rolling along through that. Then there was a comment by, and I wish I could give attribution to this, it may have been Mark Levin, but I don't want to pin him on this, but the essence of the comment was, that this is a federal judge. This federal judge basically said that the entire law didn't have any severability in it. The whole enchilada was unconstitutional. So it makes it difficult to understand that at this level, when a federal judge says it's unconstitutional, and then over here you say, well, it's just going to keep rolling along, and then you have reports of the administration planning on appealing it or not, and everybody's anticipating it going to the Supreme Court. Part of the problem is that the tentacles of this thing becoming entrenched and entwined in the way we do business and taxes and hospitals and doctors and all the rest. It almost sounds like something out of Little Shop of Horrors with that plant that went out all over the place, and got tangled up. What do you think? Is there a way to get rid of this thing at the root or what?
Well, I think the way to get rid of it is not to rely on Washington, D.C. to fix problems caused by Washington, D.C. For far too long, we the people have been voting bums out in the hopes that new bums were going to just limit their own power. We've been going to federal courts in the hopes that federal judges were going to limit federal power. Once in a while they do, but 9 times out of 10 they're expanding federal power even when it seems that they're not. The reality is we got to start bringing these essential and difficult issues closer to home in our states, and there are now 11 states that are considering bypassing Washington, D.C. and the courts and simply rejecting and fully nullifying Obamacare top to bottom on a state level.
Well, that is, see, and that there in the in that whole nullification effort, not just in healthcare, but in half a dozen other areas, identification issues or marijuana, medical marijuana issues, Second Amendment issues, as you have pointed out, and has the website, 10thAmendmentCenter.com, can instruct. That the whole concept and the movement and application of the nullification principles is pretty damn effective.
Yeah, it's actually happening. I mean, if we look at 25 states saying no to the Real ID Act, and in essence, most of the country, that law is null and void and not in effect without challenging in court, without repealing in Congress. We have 15 states, most recently Arizona, that are defying Washington, D.C. and the Supreme Court on medical marijuana. Now we just need to apply this to our gun rights, to our health freedom, to dealing with the EPA, and just about everything else that Washington, D.C. does that's unconstitutional. Read almost everything.
Indeed. Well, you know, one of the terms we're hearing bandied about is constitutional crisis. I want to ask you about that, and also from a grassroots standpoint, how people in our in Northwest Ohio and in our listening area can get involved in the, you know, in the 10th Amendment Center's efforts with regard to nullification. We're chatting with Michael Bolden, 10th Amendment Center. The website, 10thAmendmentCenter.com, linked, you can find it up at up on our website in case you forget. A lot of great information up there. One thing I wanted to ask you about before we got too far along here, Michael, in a recent post up at 10thAmendmentCenter.com, I read a piece about this new book by Robert Nadelson, The Original Constitution, what it actually said and meant. We're going to try and get him on the show. That sounds like a terrific book for everybody.
Rob is one of the best or top constitutional scholars in the country, and he's been teaching at law school for many years, and he finally retired and decided to put together this book. And this is 300 pages of constitutional history and understanding, and not one word in there is written for an attorney. It's written for the average person, so when the statists in Washington, D.C. or on MSNBC or on Fox News tell us that, oh, well, the Necessary and Proper Clause means this or the General Welfare Clause means that, we've got all the ammo we need to knock that right out of the park. Amazing book, The Original Constitution.
I'm looking forward to reading it. A lot of people seem to forget the fact that it starts off "we the people," not "we the lawyers," "we the Supreme Court justices," "we the pundits on MSNBC," or any of the rest of that business. Let's talk to about for a moment once again. Review for us the entire effort of the 10th Amendment Center, especially in conjunction with nullification. Why it's important. We've got an effort here. Fortunately, we have a sympathetic Attorney General now, who's very happy about that the judge's decision. But nevertheless, there are all these other issues. Before you tell me that, let me back up for a second. I want to ask you about that constitutional crisis thing. That's something else that we're hearing bandied about an awful lot now, with the president basically saying, you know, damn the torpedoes, full speed ahead. I'm going to do what I want. I got executive orders. I got this and that. Are we in, or are we headed towards a constitutional crisis, in your opinion?
I think we've probably been there for about a century or so. What we've got are an increasing growth of power in Washington, D.C. It doesn't matter what political party's in power or what person occupies the White House. Federal power continues to grow. And until we the people stop looking to Washington to fix the problems created by Washington, it's just going to keep getting worse. It's not about just one guy to win an election and come save us riding in on a white horse. It's about bringing the system back where the founders wanted it, local self-governance. And that's going to solve our problems.
But do you get the sense, especially in the results of the last election and so on, that there's an awful lot of people that think that's a really swell idea?
Well, yeah, there's still tens of millions of people that vote for the lesser of two evils, and they're almost always one or two evil. Then again, what's the percentage of people that vote? Is it maybe 50% of the country still doesn't vote? Some people tell you that's just out of apathy, but for someone like me, I will only give my precious vote to someone who can represent me properly, and people like John McCain and Barack Obama could never do such a thing.
Oh, you're such a stickler.
Yeah.
Folks who are listening, folks who are appropriately motivated and getting in the process of getting themselves educated, whether they be Tea Party members or not, just people that have had it up to here. getting involved in the 10th Amendment Center and the efforts that you're doing there, whether it be nullification or any other educational moves. What is the average guy supposed to do?
Well, the average guy, instead of maybe picking up the phone or sending an email to someone in Washington, D.C., they should put that energy on someone in their state house. Now, while, again, living in California, I think my state would probably be better if it just went bankrupt. But I know that I'm going to have a better chance of reaching someone in the state house than someone like Nancy Pelosi, for example. It's just never going to get responded to in Washington. And if we do what Jefferson, Madison, and many of the other founders recognize, we're going to deal with these issues close to home. And now these nullification efforts, and again, Nullify Now, we're going to be in Cincinnati, nullifynow.com/Cincinnati. People, I know it's a bit of a drive, but if people want to learn how this all plays out, Tom Woods will be speaking there to give the historical basis and the various issues that it's actually coming into play in around the country right now, whether it's health care or gun freedoms or the drug war or identification cards or even states that are issuing state-level bills to reject federal legal tender laws and allow people to use gold and silver in the states.
Well, final question. From your perspective, since you've got oversight of all of this, do you get the sense that there's a momentum that's going our way, or are you still attempting to achieve liftoff? Is there still that inertia problem?
Well, there's definitely liftoff. I mean, the mainstream does not want to do this. We're doing it anyways. And wherever we go in the country, we've got hundreds of great activists coming out to learn and tell their friends and family. And if you're talking about 11 bills that are talking about rejecting Obamacare completely and saying we're going to jail federal agents for violating the state law, I think that's some momentum. And whether it's Politico or AP or WorldNet Daily or whatever other news source out there, they're starting to talk about it, and that's a good thing.
Indeed. I lied. I said it was the last question. I got one more question. A week from today, we'll be hooking up the dog sled and heading towards the Logic Free Zone of Washington, D.C. To broadcast from CPAC. I was just curious whether or not you or any of your colleagues will be in town for that.
Well, because we stand up for the Constitution every issue, every time, no exceptions, no excuses. The 10th Amendment, sir, may not have the first invite. I know Tom Woods will be speaking there, Ron Paul, some very good people. But then again, there was also a report I saw that Donald Rumsfeld was nominated for a Defender of the Constitution Award. So I think CPAC, although it gets a lot of attention, has a long way to go.
Yeah, I think I see Grover's hand in some of that.
Well, yeah, maybe.
I'll have to speak to him maybe at the bar.
Good.
Thursday. Hey, listen, Michael, thanks a lot. Always great having you on the show. I hope everything continues to move forward over the 10th Amendment Center, and we're more than happy to push the Cincinnati appearance. Hopefully we'll be able to get down there and say hello and that everything continues to move along steadily and strongly. Thanks a lot.
The red carpet is already rolling out for you, Brian. Hope to see you there, and thanks for having me on.
You're very kind. Thank you very much. Michael Bolden, 10th Amendment Center, 10thAmendmentCenter.org, in Cincinnati in next month.